Welcome back. My name is Izzo Cleon Andre McLeod. Welcome back to my podcast. Today's topic will be on rebellion and disobedience. And I want to touch on this because there has been a blindness that's been going on. And because of this, many have not been seeing things correctly, seeing the right way of doing things. And I've been caught in certain pits, certain pitfalls, and certain things that have been going on in their life. They are unaware that these things that are going on is because of rebellion and disobedience. Let us begin this episode on rebellion and disobedience. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you rebel and disobey, a sharp sword shall devour you. This is coming from the book of Isaiah that I just started this episode with. Obedience is the key. Obedience is the key to prosperity. Obedience is the key to living a long life. As a matter of fact, obedience is also in righteousness. The righteous shall inherit the earth. Obedience is in righteousness. The righteous shall obtain favor. Obedience is in the righteous, in righteousness. When God told him to go to Nineveh and prophesy to them, he never lost his honor. But it wasn't God's direction. It wasn't God's decision that he made. It wasn't influenced by God. So the storm came where the disobedience was. The storm never came to when he obeyed God. So there are consequences being in disobedience and rebellion. The direction of which Jonah was going when he was on that ship wasn't God's direction. So the Lord caused a mighty storm to come and everyone was shipwrecked. When God says to do something, it's imperative to remember that you obey him and you do not disobey what he said to do. When God says to go somewhere or to do something, it's imperative to remember to obey him and not become rebellious. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is the sin of idolatry. Being in rebellion is living in sin. Being in disobedience is living in sin. It means you're living a dead life every single day. For the wages of sin leads to death, guys. Sin equals death. Prosperity is a result of obedience. If you prosper because of obedience, what happens when you live in disobedience and rebellion? Therefore, you shall not prosper. That's what happens. Obedience is the key to prosperity. Prosperity is a result of obedience. Disobedience is the key to curses and a whole lot of poverty and impoverishment. Remember when I started off this episode, I started with If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. It means you shall prosper. But if you disobey and rebel, a sword shall devour you. Yes, the sword of the Lord shall devour you. Some folks are living and don't realize they're being devoured. What does it mean to be devoured? It means you are declining every single day. And some folks are unaware of them declining every single day. To decline means to die, to perish. The ungodly, the wicked, and the unrighteous, they shall perish. So our obedience is the key, what that you're looking for here, to open up the door of prosperity. If you want to live not in prosperity, disobedience is the key. I advise you not to live in disobedience and rebellion. Obey what God said to do, so that no further consequences may come, no storm may come, no loss may come your way or your direction. My name is Izzo Cleon Andre McLeod, signing out on this short episode of Rebellion and Disobedience. You guys have yourself a wonderful day. Bye now. Why did a storm come to Jonah? Why did a storm come to Jonah when God told him to go to Nineveh to prophesy that they may repent and turn from their wicked ways? Why did the storm come to Jonah when God told him to go to Nineveh? The reason why the storm came to Jonah and God told him to Nineveh, because he never went to Nineveh. He went the opposite direction. So God caused a mighty storm when he was on board with all the other people that was on board on that ship to be shipwrecked. See, the storm came when Jonah went his way, but never took God's direction to go to Nineveh. The storm came where disobedience was. The storm came where God's presence was not. Jonah never lost his honor. But it wasn't God's decision. It was his decision. So the storm came to his decision. It didn't come to God's direction. Why did the storm come when Noah built the ark? And it was only him and his family was inside the ark. The storm came because of their disobedience. The storm came because of their wickedness. The flooding came because God's presence was not there. So the storm and the natural disaster is not a reflection of obedience, obeying God's direction. It's a result of disobeying God's direction. It's a result of disobeying what God wants from you. It's a result of not pleasing the Father. When you please the Father, natural disaster does not occur in the land of which pleases the Father. If my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, then the land shall be healed. The land is where the problem is. The land is your situation. Natural disasters and flooding and all these different kind of earthquakes that you're seeing occurring is a result of disobedience. God doesn't cause a storm to come to where obedience is taking place, to the land that pleases the Father. Job did not begin to have a curse on his life until permission was given by the Lord that these curses may come, where he lost his children, where prosperity was taken from him, and where he got sick. The hedge of protection is a force that protects and shields the believer from any form of curses and natural disaster that may occur in their life. So, to conclude this finding, natural disasters are because of disobedience. The reason why the flood came in the times of Noah, because they were disobedient to God. They were wicked, selfish in every single way you could possibly think of. The reason why the storm came to Jonah is because he was disobedient to God's direction. Storms are a reflection of God not being pleased with the land of which the storms are occurring in. The land that tithes unto God, the land that worships God, the land that praises God, these things do not occur in. The land that obeys God, these things do not occur in. All right, my friends, I hope you are edified and redirected to obey God when God says to do something, and when God says to go in a direction of which he says to go in. You guys have yourself a wonderful day. This is Israel Cleon, Andre McLeod signing out. Good news. When good news begin to increase, God is happy in the land. When good news begin to increase in a community or a city or a town or state, God is happy with that town, state, and city. When the fluency and the flow of the grace of God and the Holy Spirit is in its automation, what does it mean to be automation? Automatically flowing without effort, without you doing a thing. And you just walk in the grace of God and you feel the magnificent grace of God in the atmosphere, in that town, city, or state. It means God is pleased with that town, city, or state. This is what we call good news. Good news does not harbor, attract terror, destruction, corruption, violence, and crime. Good news actually repels it, renounces it, and gets rid of it from the town, city, or state. When a town, city, or state as an increase of bad news, that's how you know God is not happy. When God is pleased with a land, he heals the land. What does it mean to heal the land? It means to have the very presence of God, and every single thing within that land begins to prosper and work together, and it does not have a curse in it. That's what you call good news. When bad news begin to increase, corruption, violence, crime, terror, natural disasters, destruction, right? Tension amongst oneself, tension between others. These are small wars that begin to fester up. And these small wars begin to become a bigger war. Good news is the opposite. There is no war. There is no tension. So when God is happy, these things begin to happen positively in the community and the city. But when God is not happy, these things does not happen positively in the community. So I just gave you a difference between good news and bad news. Let me explain a little bit deeper and further. What causes good news to increase in a land of which it has increased in? What pleases the Father? The Father is pleased with your faith. Faith without works is dead. There must be faith plus works so that the Father may be pleased with your faith and your works. But there's something else that I want to talk to you guys about. What pleases the Father to bring good news in a community or a city? When you believe in Him, and there is redemption and salvation happening in that town or city, there will be an increase of good news in that town, city, or state. What do you mean by that? When souls are being saved, the security of the land, town, or city increases, wherefore good news begin to increase. When tithe and offering is being exemplified and put into practice by the believer, good news begin to increase. When the word of God is going forth into the earth, to those who are in need to hear and have a new beginning in their life, and they apply this, good news begin to increase. So the word of God that's going forth is good news into the community. It doesn't cause strife, bitterness, anger, clamor in the community, town, or city. So when the gospel is being preached, when the message is being preached, it doesn't cause bad news to increase. It causes good news to increase. So when a town is dead, dry, or barren, and the word was to go forth by any person, any servant that chooses to minister the word in that town, whatsoever was dead, dry, and barren shall no longer be dead, dry, and barren anymore. So, good news is when you see God moving without you even making an effort to even do anything to cause Him to move. You wake up in good news and you go to bed in good news because the work was already done. When tithe and offering does not go into into action, there's an accruing of bad news. What do you mean by that? When you don't tithe and offer, there's normally a closed heaven. Folks been living under a closed heaven. They cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot feel or taste or understand to the level that God wants them to be in, because they live under a closed heaven. So the window of opportunity, the windows of blessing that were supposed to pour out upon them cannot be poured out upon them because God's tithe and offering was not taken care of. So tithe and offering, what you give to God, what you sow to God, it's also very important in this as well. It's connected to good news. All right, my friends, I'm not going to explain too much. I just wanted to give you a brief understanding of good news and bad news and what to look out for, and what you can do in the community to bring change and a positive influence and impact in your community, town, city. My name is Israel Cleon, Andre McLeod, signing out on this podcast. You guys have yourself a wonderful night. If you would like to make a donation to Israel Cleon, you could donate to him at cash.me/CleonMcLeod. The next one is cash.me/thefaithofican. And the next one is cash.me/reignofcleon. Thank you for your love and your support in advance, and I bless you. You guys have yourself a wonderful day.